Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is, Kelly McCord or Kelly Hancock?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's go with Kelly Hancock.
Okay. Right, Kelly Hancock. On your email it says Kelly McCord, and then I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, uh-oh, I know there's two here. So you finished first in our transformation contest. Your pictures are amazing. So for anyone listening, if you're listening on iTunes, go over to Venus Index and check out Kelly's pictures. So I don't want to be too much in a pattern here. So you say you have notes, so we'll go off of your notes, and I'll try to guide you. But for, I guess right off the bat, what did you think when you saw your pictures?
So the pictures, I still look at them and don't really see me, if that makes sense, because I don't usually wear makeup or do my hair, and I see myself in the mirror, and I don't see myself looking the way that the pictures came out. like I know it's me. I know it's me, and I'm super happy with it. But it's not. I still don't see that when I look in the mirror yet. So there's still work to do, but I'm very, very happy with where I am now. And where I got to.
And is that
kind of what you think's happening there a little bit, or is it just
used to it?
Say again?
Okay, have you heard of the imposter phenomena that we talked about?
Yeah, it's I think it's just that mental shift that I haven't quite had yet. You know, the people talk about where it's like they still see themselves. It takes a while to get used to the new you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I'm super happy with the pictures, and I'm super happy with where I'm at. I just don't see myself as, like, having a success. Actually, when we were taking the pictures, my friend Kenneth is the one that actually took the pictures. We're looking at me in the mirror as I'm putting on my swimsuit and, like, adjusting it, and he says, Kelly, you have a six-pack. I'm like, no, I don't. I have a four-pack. And he's like, no, stand here, stand up straight. And then he counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I'm like, oh, hey, look at that. I do have a six-pack. but I did, like, we were arguing about it. I didn't realize. so it's still taking a little getting used to. And I find myself staring at my muscles a little bit more and kind of, like, feeling myself up. I like it. I don't know. I think I'm enjoying the changes. I'm just not used to it yet.
Right. So, do you have any, now I know other girls have talked about this fear that it's going to go away and they'll, like, does that creep up at all? That, like, that's not you and the real you is something else?
I don't think there's that fear. If anything, it's what I'm seeing in the mirror isn't, like, as far as I want to be. Because, like, I know that there's still some more progress that I want to do. I still want to build up some more muscle, and that's the me that was more showing out in the pictures because I was water depleted.
Right.
So that's what I want to look like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I'm not worried about sliding back, really.
Mm. Oh, so it's
looking forward to going further.
Right, a little bit further. And now, do you feel now that you have the capability to do that?
Yes, now I definitely do. Touch me a year ago, and no. but now I definitely do feel like I can do that.
All right, so you said it. Take us back a year.
Okay, so a year ago is when the Venus Index project came out. At that time, I knew that I wanted to lose some weight. I knew that I wanted to build muscle. I had no idea how to do it or what to do. Let me actually go back a couple more years before that real quick, and I'll be brief. I'm 26 now. I found Venus Index when I was 25. Before that, when I was in, like, middle school, high school, I was always a little bit heavier, but I was really active in sports, and I was pretty happy, and I was never really conscious of my body, if that makes sense. Same with in college. When I graduated college, I moved to New York, loved the food, was working in Big Four accounting. The only people who understand Big Four accounting hours are, I think, medical residents or other Big Four accountants. It's a very intense workload. So it's going through those busy seasons, which basically means lots of food, to keep people working, not much sleep. And after a year living in New York, I gained a lot of weight. I did not own a scale, but I was walking through Bed Bath & Beyond one day, and they had scales out for display. So I stepped on one just for fun, and that day I bought my first scale. I was in shock. I don't know what happened. I'd never been aware of my weight before or really much aware of my body. But I was extremely heavy, way heavier than I ever thought I was. I think my driver's license said 125. No. So shortly thereafter, I bought an elliptical, and I was, and this was the spring of 2008. So after my first busy season at work, I was on the elliptical an hour every night. I was just eating salads every day for lunch. Right? I didn't really know what I was doing. I guess looking back, I was eating less, right, which is, we know, the key to losing weight. But I had no guidance. I didn't know what I was doing. And I ended up losing those 20 pounds that I had gained during busy season, even though there was even more than I needed to lose overall. And then the next busy season came, and I gained another 20 pounds. And then afterwards, I joined the gym, and I lost 20 pounds again. And then we ended up moving back to Ohio for some family stuff, and more work stress, family stress. Another busy season came. I gained another 20 pounds, and I lost another 20 pounds. And it was a fantastic cycle. And when I say fantastic, I don't actually mean that. So now we're at 2010, and I've gone through three busy seasons of gaining a full 20 pounds and losing a full 20 pounds, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. And it's November 2010, busy season, and I'm like, this has got to change. I still was clueless about food, clueless about the right way to work out. Did not understand calories out, but I had at that point an idea of what type of body I wanted. So I was at least conscious of that, and I had somehow made my way over to the bodybuilding forums because that was more of the look I was going for. Not so extreme, but more muscly definition, because I was a swimmer when I was in school, and I really liked the definition that I had when I was swimming. So somehow I found Adonna, and I think there was a thing like to sign up for, like, hey, we're coming out with a product for women, sign up here, listen to emails. And so I signed up and I got the email, and the night that you guys did the webcast to intro into Venus Index, I was like, wow, you guys are really smart. It's math, it's science, I'm a smart analytical numbers person, and it made sense to me. So I bought it that night. And now we are to November 2010. And the beginning of my Venus journey. Sorry, that was really quick. Does that make sense?
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's a good lead into getting to there.
So the
busy season 20 pound up and down sounds exhausting, by the way.
Yeah. Well, busy season just in general is exhausting. And I was actually in a program where I did dual busy season, so I did two back to back, which was super fun. But basically, I meant from September of one year through March or April of the next year, I was working between, like, 60 and 70-hour weeks.
Oh, man, that's rough.
Yeah, good times. But we got to, you know, expense dinner, and so we had lots of good food, and we would drink lots amounts of coffee, have lots of sugar to keep us going, which is good from the work side, but not so much from the body side.
Okay, you know, I'm just going to make a little note here for anybody listening. If the sound quality just changed, me and Kelly were having connection difficulties, and I think now it's going to sound a bit better for the rest of the call. So, anyways, we're up to November. Where are we? 2010.
November 2010. Yeah, so about a year ago. I bought the product from the first day. I started reading everything. I started doing the workouts the first day. I was so excited. I think I woke up at like 3 a.m. to do the first workout before work. It was ridiculous. That is not a pattern I kept up. but I was just really happy to be lifting weights for the first time again. I read what you had to say about, you know, true BMR, like what your calories in, calories out. I started listening to your podcast. You guys are really smart, P.S., by the way, in case you didn't know.
I was also
really active in the community, which is great, because when it started, there was a smaller group of ladies, But they all had such great experiences to share. And I was fairly new to the whole process of being aware of my body and wanting to make a change and then taking steps to do that. Mm-hmm. But everyone who had been through various experiences, attempts in the past, everything that they were able to share was fantastic. Some of the people on there had been doing ESE with the intermittent fasting for a while, and that was a new concept to me. So I listened and tried maybe a couple fasts, but I was so curious, I guess, about it. It was new to me. But I decided after hearing some of their experiences that, you know, why not do a little experiment of my own? So over Christmas break when I was off work, and this is last December, between Christmas and New Year's, I did an extended fast for like 6.5 days, and it was just normal. It wasn't scary. It wasn't weird. I learned that my body could function perfectly fine without food going into it all the time. If anything, I was bored and didn't know what to do if I wasn't preparing food or thinking about food. So that was just more of an experiment for me to know that, you know, fasting isn't scary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the extended fast, it's something that I did that one time, and I've done a couple times since. But it's not, like, the norm, I guess, if that makes sense. But that just kind of helped me get over the unknown. So that gets us through last December. In January, the contest started, the BT1 started, and I decided, darn it, I'm going to rip off the Band-Aid. I know that I can do an extended fast. I'm just going to fast until I hit 130. And then when I hit 130, then I know I still need to lose more fat, and I'll gain some back with, like, water or whatever the scientific mumbo-jumbo is. But it'll get me close, and I'm going to do that at the beginning and then just the rest of the time, you know, slow and steady.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. It took 12 days, but I hit 129.8 for a whopping one day, and then I ballooned back up. It was ridiculous. It was not smart. It was not good at all. I was playing mental games with myself. I was beating myself up all the time. I was making bad food decisions. It was not good. And then I was also absent from the forums because I felt ashamed. I had, it just wasn't good. And then I found in my journal, an entry that I made in the middle of February, right after this time. And I would like to read that to show it's not something that I would normally share, but I feel like maybe I'm not the only one who's gone through this, so I'm going to share it with you anyway.
Fire away.
This is an entry I made on February 19th this year. And it goes, wow, fail. It's not even that I let myself go. More like I urged myself to make the worst choices I could. No workouts, hiding bad food choices, intentionally stuffing my face with calorically dense foods that didn't even taste good. Lots of fancy drinks, avoiding the scale like the plague, etc. I tried to justify it by saying I was busy with work, needed to study for a job interview, would start when I was in Kentucky, etc. All just excuses. I even lied about workouts and diet on the forums. I'm so disappointed in myself. These last 2 to 3 weeks, really more like 5 or 6, have sent me back to where I was before I started VI in November. That's 4 months gone, and net progress is nothing. I'm not super proud of that.
But that's a really powerful journal entry, and I'm sure a lot of people have something very similar. If they haven't written it down, they've probably said that to themselves and probably gone through that. I bet you everyone's gone through something just like that.
Yeah. So that was a tough time for me, but it was also right. It's kind of a low point that helped me get my mind right to, I haven't had any really bad periods like that since. So after that, I needed to be, so that was the middle of February. After that, March and April, I was in Kentucky for work every week. The hotel that I had, that I was staying at, had a gym, and so I was doing the circuit workouts. I purchased the circuits, and they're great, exhausting, but great. was doing the circuit workouts. I was trying to eat well, but since I was at a hotel 5 days a week, all my food was prepared, but I had hit that low point, and I told myself, this is ridiculous. I need to do something, right? So I worked really hard, and by the end of the contest time, I was at a place where I was, I guess I was back to where I started in January, which for me was actually great because I had not gained the 20 pounds during busy season that I normally would have. But it wasn't where I wanted to be. I was not proud of myself. I felt like I had let myself down. I felt like I had let my friends in the VI community down. I wasn't super proud of it, and I did not submit for the contest. Even though, like, I had taken before pictures, I did not submit for the contest, and I wasn't feeling too good about myself. Hold on, what did I have a note? I don't know. But, yeah, so I felt like I had... Okay, so that's the end of the contest. And I wasn't feeling good. Oh, here's what I wrote. I said I felt like a failure. Yes, indeed I did. but I had already bought my tickets for Vegas. So I was going, even though I hadn't made any progress, I was going to Vegas, almost like an imposter, but I was going to go. And I got to tell you, I'm so happy that I went. just meeting everyone in person, it was like we had known each other forever. I learned a lot. I'm just happy to build the relationships, put faces with names. But I also came home with a couple of to-dos to really help me move forward. One of the to-dos that I had was to actually count calories. I know you say you have to count calories. I wasn't doing it before. So for a good 2 months, I was weighing my food and actually counting calories, and it helped open my eyes to understand what are my staple foods. Because I have a group of foods that I love. They taste good. They're easy to prepare, and I know the calorie count of them. And that is one of the benefits that I got from that time period, was understanding the calories in foods and what foods I like. I don't weigh my food anymore. I don't think I need to because I really do have that understanding now.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you just to kind of get a grip on that? Like, some people are scared, but tell them how long it took until you kind of had it and then you didn't need to weigh anymore.
Well, I was weighing for like 6 to 8 weeks, but really after about 3 or 4, because I eat many of the same foods.
Mm-hmm.
After about three or four weeks, I knew.
Right, and then at that point, you can eyeball it.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Like, I know what 4 ounces of chicken looks like, and I know that, like, a serving size for me is about 4 ounces, is about 80 calories, and I can eyeball what that is.
Yep.
And if I do, like, 2 serving sizes, well, then I know exactly what that is, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's way easier to judge my food now that I know that. So that was something that I did in April and May after Vegas. You guys told me I had to, and so I did. so it was April and May, and I just, after meeting you guys, I came back with, like, a whole nother, I was just very focused and very much like, okay, I can do this. It's not hard. I can do it. This is what I need to do. And one of the things I needed to do was to track the calories, or to at least understand it. Because before I was, you guys have talked about the estimating is off, and yeah, it is. so I took the time, I did the weighing, and now I know. And so we're good. We're through May. June and July this year were kind of a blur to me. June and July, I had lots of stresses going on in my life, work, life, personal, business, everything. There were just lots of stresses going on, and at that time, I was not working out, not watching what I eat, even though I knew in my head, I knew what I was doing and what I needed to be doing, I was consciously making the decision not to. So June and July were not great months for me, but the result of that time was ultimately I made the decision to move back to New York and start a different career path. Well, kind of same career path, different job. And that was really the turning point that has made me, that's gotten me to where I am now. So now we're back in New York, and it's August. The first week of August this year, I moved back to New York. So happy. I was alone. I was all by myself. But in the city that I love with millions of people, I'm so happy here. Anyone who's seen me here knows it's great. And since I was on my own, it was kind of like starting over. It was new job, new city, new home. I don't have to worry about doing anything for anyone else, just me. And that gave me a lot of freedom. So the first couple of weeks while I was looking for a permanent apartment to stay in, I was staying at various friends' places. So most of the meals that I ate were prepared or eaten out. But I was also eating when I felt hungry. So that might mean that one day all I had was an apple and that was all I needed, perfectly satisfied. That might mean that one day I decided I was going to eat half a pizza, four beers, and a tub of ice cream. And that's what I got to be satisfied. But it was what I wanted, understanding the averages of calories, understanding what my body felt like it needed, and dealing with the averages. So I know that's a couple extremes. Wasn't always like one extreme or the other, but it was okay to do that. There was no food is the enemy. I already knew the calories. I knew how to listen to my body, and I didn't have to worry about the pressure of eating meals with other people, going to lunch with my coworkers, you know, preparing food for anyone else. It was just, what does Kelly want? So that was really nice. And that's how I've been living the last couple months, too. It's just when I found my apartment, now I can stock my own food. but first, during those first couple weeks, it was just eating out most of the time. At the end of August, I moved into my actual apartment. So I had to go back to Ohio to get all my stuff, and my mom took my before pictures in her basement. So that's her basement that you see in the background, those pictures. But the before pictures were really a just-in-case type thing. I haven't decided consciously to do the contest. I had decided that at this point in my life, I was going to find me and what I wanted to do and my change. It wasn't for a contest, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the time. I didn't have anyone else relying on me. It was just me. And I was able to work on me. So that meant I spent a lot of time in the gym and made some conscious good decisions. But I also spent a lot of time with internal reflection to understand what pressures have I put on myself that are unnecessary. I think that women, we tend to do things sometimes because we think that other people want us to do them. and then by doing that, we end up not happy or not taking care of ourselves and therefore not super happy, and then that kind of projects where the actions we were taking because we thought someone else wanted us to weren't even necessary anyway. So really when I became a little bit more selfish and started doing what I wanted to do, I became more successful in all aspects of my life. Sorry, what?
The for sure. I mean, that's just, I hope everyone listened to that one.
Yeah, it's weird, but I started getting, I guess, I think selfish maybe is the right word, but then I got more successful at work because I was taking care of me over taking care of what I thought other people wanted. I was making myself a priority while still handling other things. my body clearly has gotten more successful, and in my mind at least. I'm financially more successful. I'm pretty happy about that. But just everything has come together when I stopped putting extra pressure on me that wasn't needed.
Well, and you started putting you first instead of everything else.
Exactly, exactly. And it's not like I don't care about other people or other things. Like, I totally understand it. But I was making myself a priority, which I had never done before.
Yeah, and that's the key to being, you got to take care of yourself before you are even capable of helping out someone else.
Yeah, yeah. That was a big turning point for me, because I think that really I have been in my way, in a lot of ways. And I kept myself from being successful in many aspects of my life, so... Hmm. That was a huge thing for me. And I've just found a lot of calm, like internal calm, throughout the thing. And I'm just very happy now. I'm generally a lot more happy now than I've ever been, which is weird. Maybe not weird, but it's just everything. Even when crazy stuff is going on at work or whatnot, or, you know, I'm on the subway and I'm just delayed for a half hour. Like, I don't mind. Other people are getting annoyed about it, but I'm like, yeah, whatever. My iPod's working. I have good music. Just kind of calm, chill, go with it. I'm not getting stressed about things that I can't control anymore. And the things that I can control, I'm able to control, and therefore not getting stressed about them. Like, does that make any sense? I'm kind of riding this high, and I love it.
No. This is making perfect sense. I hope everyone else, my guess is anyone else who's also had similar success is resonating with this. And then I guess I kind of hope that people who are listening in or need some inspiration, this is what they need to hear. They need to know that once you take charge of this stuff and put yourself first and start getting your stuff handled, on the other end of things, it is calmer. You can handle life's ups and downs easier. It's kind of like when everything's out of control, it really is out of control, and it reflects in your body to some degree. And then afterwards, once you start getting things sorted out, you do get calmer. Like the guy, a lot of the Adonis guys say the same thing. They're like, yeah, it's just sort of, the whole thing is just, it's sort of medicating, so to speak. And it takes effort and it takes work, but it super pays off. And that's, you're experiencing exactly kind of how it goes on the other end.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. I'm not even questioning it. Some people are like, really? Because they'll ask, oh, how's it going? And I'll go off about like how happy I am. And they're like, really? Because usually, you know, Mondays people are kind of not happy. And I'm like, no, I'm great. It's a fantastic day. But yeah, everything right now is going really well. And I kind of want to keep riding that high, and I'm going to keep working to getting closer to what I want while keeping my priorities in check and, you know, taking care of everything, really. Mm. But that's where I'm at right now, mentally and emotionally. I guess that's my journey emotionally through VI. If you want, we can talk through like the contest, what specifically I did during the 12-week contest. I don't know what you want to talk about next.
Well, whatever you want to cover, but that was good. If you want to talk about what you did specifically, sure. Let's shoot through that for a bit.
Okay. I went maybe a little extreme. Like I said, it's just me. You know, I didn't have anyone to go home to at night, so I would go to the gym straight after work. I would pack my gym bag in the morning before I went to work, and then I would go straight to the gym. And during 10 of the 12 weeks of the contest, 5 days a week, I was at the gym for between 2 and 3 hours. I would go to the gym. I would do 1 hour of weights, and I alternated Monday, Wednesday, Friday were circuit workouts. Mm-hmm. And then Tuesday and Thursday, I did double boosters. I would do usually butt and shoulders. I'm really proud of my shoulders. I spent a lot of time on them, and I really like that little cup thing that you get going on with your shoulders.
I like the way you describe that, yeah.
So I would do that, followed by 1 to 2 hours of super, super, super light cardio, either on the treadmill or elliptical or recumbent bike. And I would do that while watching primetime TV. Mm-hmm. So it just worked out with when I left work, I would get to the gym and work out. I would do weights from like 7 to 8, and then from 8 to 9 and 9 to 10, I would watch whatever shows were on that night. Because I like my TV, and it was right when the new seasons for the fall were on.
Sure. You're like me in that respect. I do the same thing. And it's like, a lot of people are just going to watch TV from those time anyways. Might as well walk while you're doing it.
Exactly. And for me, it was not with the intent of burning calories. It was with the intent of not stuffing my face for those two hours. So I, in my head, the way to justify watching TV at the gym instead of watching TV at home was not for the workout benefit or the calorie benefit. Well, I guess not the calorie out benefit, but it was for the calorie in benefit.
Yeah, Pilon, yep, Brad always mentions that he thinks that the calorie burn you get from cardio is maybe only half of it, and the other half is the fact that for those hours, you're not eating.
Yeah.
And it kills your appetite a little bit, too. Afterwards, you don't really feel too hungry after it either.
That
but
is
he was
exactly
like, he's
right.
Like, if you're busy at the gym, you can't possibly be eating if you're on the treadmill.
Yep. I would get home, depending on which shows were on what night, I would get home either at 9:30 or 10:30, take a shower, go to bed. Sometimes I would have dinner, sometimes I wouldn't. Because, you know, if I'm tired, why spend an extra half hour making food to eat food and then pass out right after? Why not just go to bed, you know? So it definitely helped me in that I wasn't eating during the hours I was doing the cardio, and then I would say at least three nights a week, I just wouldn't even have anything before going to bed. Sometimes I would have, like, a light snack. I am not a cook. If anything has more than three ingredients in it, I'm probably not going to be making it. So I would do, like, very simple meals when I ate. So that was most of the weeks I would do that. So 3 hours at the gym a night, Monday through Friday. And then the last 2 weeks of the contest, I actually had a talk with my coworkers and said, hey, listen, I need to leave early for the next 2 weeks because I have this thing, and I was kind of vague about it, but I need to be at the gym for longer. So the last couple weeks of the contest, I was actually at the gym 4 hours a night. Just because, you know, why not? And that the extra hour was just added cardio, like an extra, a little bit of warm up before the weights and then just a little bit extra after the weights.
Yeah, so you broke up that extra hour.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't strict. And again, like always super light cardio, not the same thing multiple days in a row because I don't want to mess up my knees or anything. My knees feel weird sometimes from old high school injuries. But yeah, like I'm so old at 26. but you know. So it was really light, but it was just extra time that I wasn't eating, which I enjoyed. And so that was really helpful at night because during the days I did eat more. but that was pretty much my workout for the majority of the time. The first week of the contest, it was when I was first moving into my apartment, so I wasn't really a member of a gym yet. So I didn't do so much working out then. And the last week of the contest, I only worked out one day. But then I took the time off because I had been lifting heavy, and someone on the forums, I don't want to say who because I'm probably going to get the person wrong and I don't want to call out the wrong person, sorry. Someone on the forums had made a comment about before pictures, maybe stop lifting heavy for a couple of days because the inflammation that your muscles have will go down. And you'll look a little bit slender or more slender for the pictures. I did take that last week off of most of my lifting, and I did see my hips go down. So, yay, you were right. I did definitely see my measurements go down a little bit that last week, too, from that. But otherwise, even since that, I went to, since the contest has been over, I've been working out again. Even over Thanksgiving, I went to DC to visit some relatives for Thanksgiving. Worked out with my uncle 3 days when I was there. It was great, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I was really happy to see people in the gym on Thanksgiving before their massive meal. It was pretty cool. I've been doing the lifting. Since the contest, one of my girlfriends who lives near me, she's been working out with me too, which is fun. She's getting into weights again for the first time in a few years. So that's cool that she's getting into it. But that was the workout. And now for the food that I did during the contest, we have a fantastic farmer's market in New York at Union Square. Most weekends on Saturday, I would go to the farmer's market and stock up on fruits and veggies. I love my apples. People make fun of me for how many apples I eat, but it's great. So most days, or most weeks, I would eat like between 10 and 12 apples, so a couple apples a day. And then I would make salads for lunches. So my breakfast and lunches would be pretty light. I do a lot of soups for lunches and dinners also. They're yummy. And then snacks. I would usually do snacks for dinner instead of like a meal for dinner. So I like have two or three different snacks. And what I call a snack is not like chips, but it's like cottage cheese and apples.
Right, yeah.
That's a yummy snack. And that worked out well for most of the week. I would say, definitely most of the weeks, but we'll say three out of every four. I had three what we'll call bad weeks, and they're not even full weeks, but they're four-day periods that I would say coincide with hormonal cycles.
we'll just say that, yeah.
We'll just say maybe.
Yeah.
So I would have a four-day less good, well, I don't even want to say less good. I'd have a four-day higher calorie period of time every month or so.
Yep.
And I just accounted for that. I would look at my calendar. I would know approximately when it was coming, and I would know that those 4 days are going to be higher calories.
And then you just roll with it because it's basically necessary.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, even, like, I would try and get them all in like, 2 days and then hope that the third and fourth day I didn't have cravings. Yeah, no, always 4 days. Always 4 days. There's no messing with it. I kind of live with it. Just kind of learn to live with it and love your body, right? But I budgeted for those and would know, like, oh, if I'm meeting friends for dinner, let's make it during that four-day period. Or if we're having, like, a big bagel fest, let's do it during that time period.
Yeah, because you're going to need to anyways.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just kind of worked with that, and it's what I would call, like, my bad weeks, but they're not even bad. They're just the ones that ended up being a little bit higher calorie. And then those were generally followed by bloating, which is something that I've learned to love because I have perfected the de-bloat process for myself. So that's good. I know based on what I've eaten, how long I'm going to be bloated, like how quickly I see it, how long I'm going to be bloated, and what exactly I need to do to get it off, and how quickly I'll see it off. So it's neat. The leaner you get, the more aware you become of these things. So that's kind of something that I learned with my food experimentation over the contest. And during the entire time, I was eating birthday cake all the time. I think I've talked about this on the forums.
Pardon me, say that again?
I was eating birthday cake all the time.
Oh, good.
At my work, we celebrate every person's birthday.
Oh, so there's one happening constantly.
So, and I'm talking like every person's birthday, not like once a week, anyone whose birthday is that week? No. We've had some weeks where there would be four birthdays in 1 week. Seriously? Yes. Yes, seriously. And I'm a fan. I partake in every birthday that was there that did not occur during a time period when I already had a meeting scheduled and cannot physically be there. Because I like ice cream cake. I like normal cake. I like cupcakes. I like the banana pudding that they had. It was yummy, and I loved it. And I kept losing weight because the rest of my meals for that day were, let's see, apple, maybe a protein shake, salad, soup, you know, and birthday cake. Total calories, somewhere around 1,000. Go Kelly, good job. So it worked out well. It was just part of my diet built in.
Did you ever have a history with, like, dieting or any belief in any kind of dieting rules, or was it for you, like, I know some people needed to, like, undo previous, like, habits of being, like, food purists and even orthorexic? Or for you, was it just a matter of getting a handle on calories? Like, did you not, you know what I mean? Like, did you have to undo any previous dieting biases, or was that just never part of you?
Not so much dieting biases. There was, for a good, like, 10 years, I was a vegetarian.
Okay.
And that was more of, like, a preference, not, like, a political stand or anything. So I generally tend toward fruits and veggies, which helps me.
Sure.
But I do like, you know, chicken, meat, hamburgers. So that wasn't so much of a bias as just which foods I pick from for my personal preference.
Yeah. Okay, so that's good, because a lot of people have this, like, they fight like crazy with their previous mindset of, like, some foods are good, some foods are bad. So you just never really had a good food, bad food paradigm necessarily.
Correct. Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's the common culture of, you know, high fat is bad. Everyone's heard that. Processed is bad. Everyone's heard that. But after reading your stuff and listening to your podcast, it doesn't take very much to understand logically that the reason why people are saying those are bad is because they're higher calories, so you just can't have as much of them.
Mm-hmm. Right? Right, yeah.
So I've heard all of that, but it wasn't something that really stuck with me. Something mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Well, no, and that's good, because I'm just trying to set a baseline there, because everyone's story is a little different, and that some people aren't coming from that perspective at all.
Yeah. So what else to do during the contest? Oh, I did a 7-day water juice fast with Laura Hatrich. Oh, I wonder if I said her name right.
I think it's
Partridge. Yes, sorry, yeah. Laura. She is one of my texting buddies. So she's one of my support group, and we did a 7-day water fast. I think it was, or water and juice fast. I think it was 4 days water, 3 days juice. And so we did that for fun. And then I was talking with Alicia, and I guess I did a 4-day quasi-fest by accident during the gut test. I just wasn't hungry. And then when I went back and tried to remember what I had eaten for the previous couple days, it ended up being 2 apples for, like, 4 days. and it wasn't on purpose. It just ended up being. So there were a couple fasts thrown in there, but nothing not really purposeful. I mean,
not coordinated, it sounds like.
Yeah, not coordinated. It was more of a eat less, but eat when I'm hungry type thing.
Right, and it was just, you were just riding the wave.
Exactly. And so that all kind of worked out really well.
Now, you said you had a text buddy. Talk about that, because I know you guys have all kinds of behind-the-scenes stuff you don't tell us about, so tell us about, because, like, I find out, like, through these podcasts, and then every now and then I find out there's, like, you guys do your own thing there, so explain a little bit about, like, there's more to the community than meets the eye, let's say it that way, because I know that stuff goes on that we don't know about, or at least that me and Brad don't know about.
Yes. Let me talk to you about my support group. My support group has grown. It is very large. When I first started with VI in November, all of the VI ladies just in general were a great support group, a great wealth of knowledge, and really everyone was cheering everyone on. During January and February, I got to know a little bit better. Even before that, Chris, Jim Pixie, another one of our winners from VT1, the Open, she coached me through the fast that I did in December, because she had done extended fast. So we sent some private messages back and forth, and so she kind of helped me support there, and she also supported me throughout. During January, February, the first contest, I got to know Alicia and Caroline a little bit better. Through the forums, and then also Mauro. So we got to know each other a little bit better through the forums and PMing each other. And then when we met everyone in Vegas, I met Alicia and Caroline in Vegas, along with Oya and Leanne and Catherine, and then all of the guys, like you guys and Richie and Brian and Kadafi and Kat, who am I forgetting? I don't know, but meeting everyone in Vegas, I feel like you've all kind of become an extended support group for me also. And I know I've sent you a couple PMs. I've sent other people a couple PMs, but I just felt it was more, you were more accessible. When I would have questions or need support, I could go out to any of you people that I have met in person. So you all became part of my support group. But since then, Alicia and Caroline and Oya and Richie have become text buddies, some more often than others. With people I knew that I could go to if I was having a tough day. Even if they didn't know I was having a tough day, I could just send a quick text to be like, hey, thinking about you, how's your day going? And if they were having a good day, then it would make me feel like I needed to have a good day too. Or if they were having a rough day, then I could talk them through it, and it would help me by virtue of doing that. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, well, that's way more powerful than people think. Like having that when you're in those moments, when you're by yourself and you're like gonna either not go to the gym or gonna, like, you have your plan, you know what you should be eating, and you're like, oh, but I'm about to break from my plan. It really just takes one text message, and then one person, they text you back, and you're like, all right, get back on track. And then you're good to go. But it's that, if you assume you're alone and you don't bother reaching out to somebody, you create your own isolation. And then if you go ahead and just contact somebody and just say, how's your day going? And then almost anything they send back, if their day's good or if their day's bad, in both cases it works, right? Because now you've engaged that other person. So you're either riding the wave of their positive day and you're like, I want my day to be positive like theirs. Or if their day's kind of crappy, you all of a sudden assume the support role and now you've taken on like the position. It's empowering because now you're helping them and you can forget about your like kind of isolation, the feeling that you're going to give up. Either way, it works. So it doesn't even matter if their day's good or bad. It's the fact that you're engaging them. And I don't think anyone gets how important that is. So that's huge. That's super huge. I used to always say have an emergency phone call person. But now I guess that's old. That's old. I said that years ago. That's before text messaging existed. So now it's the emergency text message person, like the 911 person. And usually you want someone who like is in on it with you. They get what you're doing. And then if you send them like a distressed message, like, look, I'm going to stray from my diet sort of thing. I'm just kind of feeling like a little bit lost right now. They should give you a little tough love back. They'll be like, come on, you know what you're doing here. You know why you're doing this. Remind yourself why you're doing it. Now, do you really want to do it? That sort of, like Jason Gottlieb. Remember did you ever listen to his one where he had his friends at work and he obliged them to ask him three times. If he goes over to the snack table, I want you two guys to ask me three times in a row, do I really want that? And if by the third time I say I really want it, then he really does. But on the first two, he usually is like, you're right. I'm in the contest. I don't want it. So, and now he had people right in front of him, but if you don't, set that up on text message. Set up the do you really want it person. So, yeah, no, what you're saying makes perfect sense, and it's you used it perfectly.
Yeah, and I had – it wasn't just one text buddy. I was, like, grabbing them up all over the place because if one person wasn't responding immediately, I was texting the next one. that was really helpful. And then also some people in person. So we met Leanne in Vegas, and Leanne lived in Ohio while I was still in Ohio, and she drove through Columbus a couple times to visit her daughter at school. So we would meet for coffee and just, like, sit and talk, which was fantastic. And then after the first contest, a girl named Wendy, also from Columbus, joined the community, and we would work out a couple times together while I was still in Columbus. So that was fun to have, like, the in-person contact. And then when I moved to New York, I realized that Tina lives like 15 minutes away from where I live. And as soon as I realized that, I was like stalking her until she would meet me. Like that. But I was like, Tina, you live in Glendale. I live in Forest Hills. We should meet. Did you know that there's a Panera right here? So we met, I would say maybe every other week for coffee. And I met her husband and her son, and they are adorable. But just knowing that I could meet with Tina every couple weeks and she would be seeing me and she would be seeing the transformation, but we could talk about everything. She was like, she was, you know, above everything a friend, but in addition, she was like a therapist and a personal trainer and just someone I could talk to, but it was just really great to have her there. And she was also something keeping me accountable, right? Well, likewise. But we could talk through our different workout approaches, and both of us have like a weird elbow twingy thing that happened. So different exercise substitutions we were doing. So I had Tina in person to talk to. Laura became a text buddy during this contest, and I'm so happy she did. Oh my God, I love Laura. Alicia, I've been texting and talking with since Vegas. Part of my support group also, I would say, are the people at work. They don't know it, but with my new job, I really do have the flexibility to let myself be a priority and not let it mess with my work, if that makes sense. So when I needed to go to the gym because that was my priority, they didn't care. As long as I get my work done, they don't care where I am, what I'm doing, right? And there's no pressure. One of the jobs I had before, there was pressure to have lunch with your team every single day. There's none of that here. So the people at work, even without knowing, they are part of my support group. And then online, some of the people who I would maybe consider part of my support group, even though we've never actually talked, never actually texted, are Naomi and Kimberly, are two people that I think of often. They're always there with a load of knowledge, great words of wisdom, sometimes a kick in the pants, but just all of the women on the community from the beginning now throughout, they're just a great support. Now, I will say, sometimes I cannot be on the community. Sometimes there's a drama going on, and I need to put myself above the community, and I can't deal with it, so I stay off and I stick with just the texting buddies. But when I have time and when I can, I am on the community as often as possible. So I will throw that out there. But as you can see, like, I have a huge support network that really I could reach out to and felt comfortable talking to throughout the process.
And now, would you say that was the key?
Yes, that was huge, huge. Getting out of my own way was one thing, and then having the support to help me when I would step back in my way, that those two together were huge.
Okay, so, well, I guess we're getting to the end here. Can you give us your, I don't know how many more notes you have, but can you give us your, okay, so then let's wrap it up with this is your chance to give your advice to anybody else who's, like, similar to you, who's on the fence or who's been around for a while and is struggling. This is your chance. What would you say to somebody else who looks at your pictures and say, I want that?
I would say it's okay to be selfish. It's okay to realize what you want and put yourself ahead of some of the other pressures that you have in your life. And ask for help. Don't be scared to ask for help because you're not alone. And even asking for help, someone else helping you is going to help themselves. And when you're helping other people, it's going to help you. So be selfish. Do what you need to do. Tell people that you need to make yourself a priority, and they will understand. And then you'll be happier for it, even though it's kind of counterintuitive. You'll be a lot happier in general, and then that kind of flows into every other aspect of your life. And then everyone else will be happy, too. Just happy, lots of happy. I don't know what else to say.
No, I don't think you need to say anything. I think you've said everything you need to say. Are you good there? I'm good there.
I think I'm good. Yeah, I feel like I'm probably missing things. But if anyone has any questions, comments, what have you, I'm on the forums. I'm more than happy to answer anything.
Great. Okay. Well, I mean, thanks for being on the call, Kelly. And, congratulations on placing first.
Thanks.
All right. So for Kelly Hancock, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index Podcast.